Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. We are just a couple of days from the start of the college basketball season, recording here on the evening of Sunday, November 22nd. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined up top here by David Griggs and John Tytel, joined down in the bottom row by Joby Fortson, John Sleek, Rocco Miller, and I believe Mike Cha is joining us right as we get going. I think there he is. Hey, Mike, how you doing? We're just getting going here. So we got a full panel of seven of us here tonight. We're doing something really fun tonight. This is one of my favorite nights of the preseason, David, because we are actually recording four podcasts simultaneously, correct?
Yes, we are. So, like, you see where we are now. If you look down there, right below us, you'll see the other three. And sort of, like, when you look at the hierarchy of college basketball, Chad, we won't mention this in all four of them, but just this one. Like, we sort of have the power conferences, which is the Power Five plus the Big East. These are team conferences that put teams into the top 25 regularly, have protected seeds regularly, send close to half the conferences. And then you have the under-the-radar conferences, which we record that tomorrow. And then you have this sort of, like, middle section, which is the four leagues we're talking about tonight, the multi-bid leagues that aren't power leagues. Is there a better name for them than the multi-bid leagues that aren't power leagues, or should we just continue to stick with that
title? Well, if you ask the American, they are a power league, so.
They're not.
But we're going to start with the American. I don't know what we want to call it, but we are going to start with the American Athletic Conference right here. And let me start, Rocco, let me start with you at the top of the American. We did have one preseason top 25 rated team in the American, and that is Houston. And let's start right there. How do you like this Houston team heading into the season?
I like Houston quite a bit. I mean, I think they're the most sure bet to get into the tournament out of this conference. You know, they bring guys like Dejon Giroux back and Caleb Mills and Quentin Grimes and Sasser. They'll be able to go up to four guard lineups. They, you know, under Kelvin Sampson, he's been around a long time and he's built such a great program at Houston. They attack the glass with tenacity. So they, even in games where they're not shooting well, they find a way to gut them out and get tough wins. You know, this is a league where there's a lot of travel involved. So getting out of your comfort zone and getting wins on the road is a big deal to win this conference. And he's proven that he can do that. And I think this team is built to, if they keep everybody healthy, they've already lost Fabian White with an ACL tear. But if they can keep everybody else healthy, I think they can have a real special run, even in the NCAAs.
Yeah. Joby, let me ask you also about the same team here. You know, the Fabian White injury, I think, really does hurt. You got to look at a guy like Reggie Chaney coming from Arkansas. Maybe he's got to fill in now.
I think, though, as pointed out, Mills is probably going to be player of the year in the conference because, I mean, he's returning as, I think, the top scorer in the league. And Houston, you know, Rocco's points are so prescient. The travel being an issue and defense travels. And Houston has really – they might have supplanted Cincinnati for the most, you know, hard, tough-nosed defense in this conference. Love the way they play it. I think they will be able to survive during a lot of the unprecedented nature of this season. They're going to put up a gaudy record because the American is not that deep. And they're going, I think they will get their share of wins. They will grind out wins. They're not undefeated. They're not UNLV, you know, from a few years ago. But I do believe they'll stay in the top 25 all year. And they'll be looking pretty solidly, definitely wearing white. And who knows, if that record gets gaudy enough, maybe a protected bid to see.
Just one more note here. The job Kelvin Sampson has done in his tenure at Houston, they really had, well, aside from the Guy Lewis stays in Fly Slam and Jamma, this was not a team that was on the national map or radar. They were oftentimes outside the NIT, much less outside the NCAA tournament. Since he's been here, they've been inside the bubble, spent a lot of the time in the top 25. One of those teams that you seem to look at every year and think, my God, you know, look at all everything that they lost, but yet they surpass expectations year after year after year. And again, like, I think that he could do that again this year, if it were a normal year anyways, be inside the top 25, be in the top half of the bracket, and again, be in a position to get deep into the tournament. Their tournament history, they went to the Sweet 16, I believe, the last time we had one. The year before that, they were knocked out on a ridiculous three quarters court shot to the team that ultimately was the national runner up. So this team has been really, really close to really breaking through big time on the national scene.
Well, let me go beyond this Houston team. And Sleek, let me bring you in here. How about Penny Hardaway's team there in Memphis? He seems to be recruiting great again, but can he start winning games on the court enough to get into the tournament picture?
Well, I suppose we'll start with one of their top recruits, and that's going to be Musa Sis. But like you noted, even when they had James Wiseman for one or two games last year,
62 minutes.
It didn't seem to make much of a difference at all, but they do have an established player in Lester Quinones. You're also going to have Landers Nolly, the second transferring in from Virginia Tech. So I think there's going to be enough pieces and probably enough experience to stay at least above teams like Houston or Cincinnati and Tulsa, but I don't see them catching the Cougars.
The Cougars maybe not, but Mike, is this Memphis team a tournament team heading into the season? Or is it a tut coin flip?
Yeah, I mean, they're helped by being in the American Conference. I mean, that's, so other than Houston, there isn't really a threat. But I'm not sold on Penny Hardaway's coaching acumen, like if he can maximize the talent that he has. So and my two cents is I think they're kind of a borderline tournament team.
And that was actually my exact note I wrote on this team is Penny's got to prove to me he can coach X's and O's and do more than just recruit. Mm-hmm. But Titel, is there another team that you're looking at beyond Houston and maybe Memphis as a potential tournament team here?
If I can steal the other John's thunder, I'll go with Cincinnati.
Oh, really?
Keith Williams, their senior shooting guard, made the all-conference preseason team. But I actually like their veteran leadership and their size. They already bring back Chris Vogt, a 7'1", legit big man. And they have Rapolis Ivanauskas coming in as a grad transfer from Colgate. He was the Patriot League Player of the Year in 2019. He's 6'10". 6'10 and 7'1", that's legit size for any conference, much less the American.
Well, let me call you out on this title, though, because you lost not only Jerron Cumberland, his brother Javen, and Trey Scott, who averaged a double-double. And, a team that was, won 20 games, but, I mean, isn't that a lot to make up for?
So is losing James Wiseman and Precious Achiuwa. I don't think it's...
James Wiseman didn't play. No. Come on.
Honestly,
no, I mean, I don't think they're winning 25 games this year, but I think that they have a lot of size and senior guys, and I like those things in a season like this.
Stalik is about to make a point. I'll let him go first, but I kind of want to say something after him.
Yeah, Stalika first. As far as Jerron Cumberland goes, I think it's honestly going to be a little addition by subtraction, at least as far as John Brannon's coaching goes, because he was always a square peg and a round hole that was more designed for Mick Cronin's system here. But again, there's also the notion that if you can't beat him, join him. Let's not forget that Rapinowskis was actually the leading scorer when Colgate actually snuck into Fifth Third Arena and beat Cincinnati last year.
To kind of build on that, I was making a similar but not the same point. Yeah, there is a lot of roster turnover here, but as far as Brannon, his style is night and day from what Mick Cronin's was. I think he's starting to get more or less his guys. It's more offensive. It's more wide open. It's more pressure. It isn't this – like really tough, hard nose, grind it out, half court type of game that Cronin liked to play. So while they did lose a lot, they might actually exceed expectations a little bit. I'm not going to go so far to say that I think they'll be solidly inside the bubble, but they might be on it by the end of the year. And another thing about Brannon, I know that the Horizon League is not in the same universe as the American, but we've seen his ability to develop not only develop players, but develop them into his style. So the fact that Cincinnati lost a lot might not be as bad as it looks on paper initially.
It's not just night and day different from Cronin. It's also night and day from Bob Huggins, Andy Kennedy,
yeah.
And even
like anybody King. They've ever had. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Rocco, let me bring you back in here and ask you about another team that I kind of like a little bit here. It's this SMU team
yes,
this year.
Sir,
there's a lot coming back here. including probably the best point guard in the American in Kendrick Davis.
Yeah, Kendrick Davis is a talent. Tyson Jolly is a bulldog. I actually got to – Farron Hunt, I got to cover them last year when they played at Evansville. Good game. They won down the stretch. Jolly made a bunch of clutch shots. And they bring in, you know, your and I from Oklahoma State, a proven Big 12 player to secure that front line next to Hunt. I think
– Is he eligible, Rocco?
My notes say that his waiver has not yet come through, yeah, but yeah. We expect
okay. – I agree. Your and I is a big deal, but
– Yeah, I appreciate that. I guess technically he hasn't, but all intents and purposes, it sounds like they'll get it. But we're running out of time right now, so good point. And Shar Guo is a good player too. He's either going to start without an eye, or he'll come right off the bench with an eye. So they've got, I think, a real key this year. You know, most years we have a long enough season and enough games. By the time we get to February or March, if you have a younger roster, you have time to materialize and build something special as you roll into March. But this year we're getting a 2-week late start. Games are going to be canceled. It's more and more important to have a team this year, in my opinion, with more juniors and seniors. And this team, their first nine guys are all juniors and seniors with experience in various degrees. A lot of these guys played together last year, went through some ups and downs, some good wins, some tough losses. So now it just comes down to, can Jankovic, you know, bring this team to the top two of the league, which I think is attainable.
Yeah.
That's what remains to be seen. So I'm not going to predict it yet, but they've got all the pieces there.
I like that you picked this team, Chad, because this is the team I have behind Houston. I think that they're going to be that good this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tytel, I want to ask you about yet another team that was really snake-bitten by injuries last year. But Alexis Yetna is healthy now, as I understand, for South Florida. Can they have the year this year that we thought they'd have last year?
They'll do better. I mean, Yetna is a huge piece of their puzzle. He was a conference rookie of the year back in 2019. Missed most, if not all, of last year with a left knee injury. So if he's 100% or even close to it, he's a huge force for them down low as a power forward. They bring back the reigning CBI MVP and David Collins from 2018.
There's
a stat for you. There's only one reigning CBI MVP, and he plays for South Florida. Gentlemen, here we
impressive.
Go.
Impressive. Yes. And, of course, Brian Gregory. 20 years ago, he was winning championships as an assistant to Tom Izzo at Michigan State. 10 years ago, he was winning NIT titles as coach at Dayton. He can coach. He's got the history. He's got a bunch of upperclassmen and Collins. And
he's got the CBI player of the turn.
Everybody hates the CBI. I mean, I'm sorry.
We hate the Gazelle group. That's yeah. What it is.
Yeah. I got to say, at South Florida, the one thing, Zach Dawson, who was probably their sixth man, did opt out for the season because of COVID. So that does hurt their depth a little bit. That's one thing that does concern me heading into the season is some depth issues here.
No, I loved that bit of data there. I was unaware of that. I'm so happy you shared that.
Joby, we got to discuss. We may discuss a couple more teams here, but let's kind of jump down to the maybe the bottom of the league for a second here. Talk a little Wichita State, because there's a little bit of off-court news this season.
Usually we would not on these podcasts discuss a team projected to where Wichita State will finish, but we're discussing because of why they're going to finish near the bottom, and that's because their longtime coach departed after some alleged wrongful both verbal and physical components. Greg Marshall is no longer with the program. They do return, despite the mass exodus front that led to the investigation. So there are some pieces returning for Wichita State. They might rally a little bit as a team together and be competitive. Not, in other words, not last place, but they're not playing in March in any capacity, I don't think. But I think this could be a last straw. But when they finally decide where they go with the coaching, whether it's interim, becoming permanent, et cetera, I think they were very lucky they're in the American now, because they might not be getting the invite if this had happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, Isaac Brown in as the interim head coach. They do have Tyson Edion back, and Altry Gilbert coming over from UConn. So there's a little bit of talent.
A little bit of a note here. I saw this on Twitter, which is where I get all my facts and never question anything that I read. But Billy Kennedy was hired to be part of that staff.
Yes.
Am I saying that right? So this is a guy that, really successful, at least part of the time at Texas A&M, really good at Murray State before that. He is probably going to – he could really contribute and bring some experience and stability to the bench there at a place that seems to be spinning out of control in that area. Greg Marshall, I mean, very accomplished there. God, he did a lot. He was a guy that Alabama tried to hire away from there. He opted to stay at Wichita State. Like, it was one of those stories, seemingly at least on the surface – of a guy sticking with his program, but it turned out he was a psychotic nutcase, which I think we all knew, but we didn't know to the point that it was.
Psychotic nutcase who will be coaching after he gives his mea culpa, and will be coaching in 2 years for probably a solid program, not even as far down as the fall that Patino did with Iona, a solid program somewhere.
We'll get into this tomorrow night, but Wichita State is lucky they are not in the Missouri Valley this year, where they would not finish higher than third.
Probably not.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, a couple of teams I want to go through real quickly here. Mike, we haven't mentioned them yet. Tulsa finished a three-way tie for first place last year. Do you think that they've got anything this season? Frank Hathaway always seem to underestimate.
To be honest, I'll pass. I mean, how many returning starters are coming back?
Three.
I got two, but yeah.
Oh, you got two.
Yeah, there's a couple guys there. I'm not that high on them.
I think especially with the pandemic, when you only have two starters coming back, it's to me. I think they're likely to have a backslide.
How much more time does Frank Haith have? Like, he'll end up at Wichita State.
They tie for the regular season title of the conference last year. That's all I got to say. Tytel.
Frank Haith is their coach.
I was going to say, Chad, Frank Hathaway with the less than full deck, that doesn't bode well.
One other team, I think they may be a little bit fun to watch. Actually, East Carolina, Jaden Gardner. Is he the player of the year in the conference potentially this year?
I think he's great. I don't know that there's a lot around him, so I hope that all their opponents double-team him because nobody else on the team can beat you. But, no, he's fantastic.
Yeah, okay. We also have UCF, Temple, and Tulane in this conference, by the way, just as a side note, I think.
Yeah, a quick note about Temple, Chad. Okay. They're in the Big Five, and there are some good – like Villanova also in the Big Five.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Penn is not playing this year.
Yeah. So it's the Big Four. Well, you bring Drexel in, you got five.
Yeah, still. Temple really earned that Big Five distinction.
You don't want to overlook a Big Five school. Like
They worked really hard.
I'll
tell you what I want to do real quickly here now is I want to throw each of you for three questions. Number one, who wins this conference? Number two, how many bids does the league get? And number three, any other final thoughts you may have on the American? Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, so I'll say Houston wins the league, and I'll say three teams get in. I think Memphis and Cincinnati will get in for now, but if it's not Cincinnati, easily SMU's right there on the cutoff. And I actually think this Wichita State team still got some pieces if Isaac Brown can get them to play together. So it could be a rallying cry. We'll see. And then I think so I'll go with three bids, and then just some final thoughts. First year without UConn feels weird. The conference tournament's going to be in Fort Worth. So typically that would help SMU, but probably won't have fans. We'll have to see what it's like come March or if we'll even have a conference tournament. But assuming that all that happens, perhaps a little advantage for the Mustangs to try to steal the bid at the end. This is usually one of those leagues we really focus on for a bid thief at the end of the year. So just something to keep in mind as we go through the season.
Yeah, good point.
Is anybody not picking Houston? We might be able to scrap that question.
I think the only way the American is going to get three bids is if a team like Cincinnati or someone else actually wins the auto bid, because the Bearcats, I do not think they're good enough for an at-large this year. Memphis is kind of borderline. I think Houston, you can go ahead and pencil in no matter what happens. But as far as final thoughts, we're not going to get into them in this podcast, but I would put the A-10 as my favorite conference as far as teams below the Power Five.
Okay, Stalika, we are on the American again. Joby,
the A-10 right below us.
I will take Stalika's pessimism for bids and add a slice to it. Houston wins the conference. Only two bids. Those bids will be Houston and Memphis if either Houston or Memphis wins the conference. But if Memphis doesn't win it, they're going to be so on the bubble that the Cincinnati SMU, whoever it is, will get it, and they are out. The only reason that they are, and this is my final thought, the only reason you may see more is because if you heard me talk on some of the other podcasts, a 500 team out of the ACC is going to have a real tough time, even though I would think, or Big Ten, et cetera, will have a real tough time getting a bid because they're 500, just the mentality of it. Even though, let's say it's, I'll pick on you, Chad. Let's say Rutgers goes 10-10 or whatever, you know, 12-11. I'm sorry, they are a better team than the Cincinnati squad who might wind up 19-6. But you might give it to the Cincinnati team because the record's so much better because Cincinnati beat up on a bunch of crap. And it's still perceived as okay. That's the one caveat I give on the bids in this particular case of the American.
I'm kind of with you, Joby. I think this is a two-bid league. I think you nailed the exact two teams, Memphis and Houston. Mike, how about you?
Oh, I agree. Houston, I mean, they're the only team that's ranked in the preseason top 25, and that's at 17. I mean, if that's your top team, you know, at least for now. And then really,
they'll get higher than that.
Yeah, and there's really no other team in the conference that's ranked in the top 25, and that tells you right there the lack of respect for the league. And I'll be nice. I'll say three. I wouldn't be surprised if it was two, but I think their best chance for three is you have Houston, Memphis, and then someone else winning the automatic bid, which would ensure the conference a third team.
Tytel, what do you think?
Houston is your winner. I'm setting the over-under at 2.5. I'm taking the under. I think you all are way too high on Memphis. I like Penny, and they have a lot of nice players. Kentucky
Thank
had
you.
Zero guys picked in the top 20 this week in the draft. Memphis had two. They lost a ton of talent.
Wiseman did not play.
Wiseman played for 62 minutes.
Tytel, they lost 1 1/10. Okay, let's be honest.
The college listed next to his name, and it's not Virginia. It's Memphis. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he played there for 62 minutes.
Cisse brings back in you at least one.
Fortunately for Memphis, they play in the American, so it's fine.
Lastly, for those of you who wonder, since David mentioned Billy Kennedy earlier, whether he can coach, I strongly recommend you check out the final 34 seconds of the 2016 NCAA tournament game in the second round where he was coaching Texas A&M against Northern Iowa.
And Jacobson can also coach. He just had a really bad 34 seconds, okay? Anyway, yeah.
All right, David, any final thoughts?
I'm going to keep my winner a secret. I don't want to share who it is to give anything away. I think Houston is going to be one of those teams that's ranked really high by the end of the year. You kind of see it in a league like this. It'll be sort of like a San Diego State that just rises and rises and rises because I don't think anybody in this league can beat them. Somebody will beat them, but I think it's one of those – situations to where they finish the year with just one or two losses and are ranked really high. I don't know if the rest of their resume will be there to put them on the one line, but I think they're going to be ranked really high at the end of the year. I'm taking two teams. The second team, nobody else mentioned as the team. I'm taking SMU, and it's a two-bid league. I think Cincinnati's on the board and in the discussion, but not inside the bubble on Selection Sunday.
Well, I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for the American. You can scroll right down below us. Up next is the Atlantic 10, or you can check out way up top there, the season previews tab, and watch all of our conference previews. But on behalf of
I see it. It's right there.
David Griggs, John Tytel, Joby Fortson, Mike Cha down on the bottom line there. We have John Slico. We have Rocco Miller from Rocketeer.org. I think we have about 7 or 8 other people hanging out here too somewhere. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.